Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travelled to all these interviews from Barcelona. And our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast would not happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to become a socio, to become one of our members, and get an extra big interview every month, plus loads of bonus content. So go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter, patreon.com/Graham Hunter, and we'll bring you joy. Yeah, it's Ozzy. It's Ozzy part two. Osvaldo Artiles on The Big Interview was a treat. Central London, cup of coffee in his hand, birthday lunch for one of his ex-teammates to go to shortly afterwards, and tales that took me back into the mists of my youth. He answers the questions from our sponsors, Bet365, and he answers them really well. This, in my view, is an exquisite interview. If you like The Big Interview, and remember, we're at GH Podcast, grahamhunter.tv. Tell your friends. Sit back. If it's festive time for you, maybe a gentle glass of wine. And Osvaldo Ardiles.
Steve Archibald, I was with him at the weekend, and he was talking about how you would hurdle tackles. Ooh. So you said, it's my fault if they get near me, and you'd been kicked in Argentina, which was also a macho, tough environment. But you were really clever on bad pitches about letting somebody lunge in, hurdle them, come away with the ball and keep moving, right?
Yes, give him the chance to come close to me. But when they saw that, that was probably maybe the little touch, and that's it, I was bye-bye, go. England gave me a lot of more freedom of what I have in Argentina. You will not believe maybe this, but in Argentina they were, you have to do certain things. You have to be in the right, you have to be in the left and so on. In fact, it was
positionally.
Not, yes. And you have to do certain, you have to work for the team, meaning this work that you have to do certain things. You have to be in certain position and so on. The only one that gave me complete freedom was Menotti.
Menotti.
Menotti. Menotti never told me, what to do. Just go. And Cesar, I play in the right, I play in the left. Just go. Just play, play. Oh, that's the only thing he said to me. Never, ever said to me, go to the right, go to the left. In the game, he would say, oh, see, the weakness for them, say, is in the in our right, say. Go more there, for example. Okay, so I will go there. But that will be after, when the game was already on.
When he's reading the game, yes, and reading what's happening, yeah, where the threats are.
Yeah, but that will be once in 10 games. He never said anything. Kim Bukinshaw never said anything to me as well. Never said, go and do something and so on. So when I came to Tottenham, I play all over the place. I play right. In fact, in midfield, for example, I prefer to play left, mm-hmm, than to play right. Mm-hmm. And number 8 was more right. When I played in Argentina, in coming into the national team, I was playing for Huracán in Buenos Aires. Again, you won't believe that, but I was number nine. Number nine means I was a center forward. Because we have a super, super team. So the only position I could play was number nine. So the manager had to play me, so he put, well, you're number nine.
But not just the jersey number, also positionally?
No. I did it my way. I did it my way.
It can be the title for this episode. Thank you. A mi manera.
Yeah. I did it. I went all over the place. And we were incredibly successful. And this is why we went to this. In fact, when we played 1978 World Cup, Huracán, there were two teams that had five players each. One was River Plate, Luque, Fillol, Passarella, etc. And we had five as well. That shows you how good we were at the time.
Two of them were you and Mario Kempes?
No. Mario was Rosario Central. Mario,
so he's the one of the 11.
Mario was with me in Instituto.
In Instituto, yeah.
But Holzman, for example, you remember?
René Holzman,
absolutely. What a player.
Luque was the one that, for me, everybody fixated on the World Cup, watching it, your impact was clear. And we had seen players in Britain a little bit like you, but still you stood out. Kempes obviously stood out once he began scoring, and also how he looked and everything. But for some reason, Leopoldo Luque, for me, caught my eye. Mm. And when it began to be explained in that 78 World Cup that he had to leave the camp because his brother had died, I think, I haven't researched this, in a car accident?
Yes. He was coming to see the game.
He was coming to see Argentina play.
Yes, that was the second game, France. And then in France, he was injured. They never told him that. We didn't know, but Menotti knew, but the family, the father did not.
They knew about his brother's death and they didn't tell him?
No. And then he had a terrible, terrible injury. I mean,
it's shoulder or arm?
Shoulder. That means that he played all this World Cup. I would say 50%, 60% of his capability. So imagine he felt so, because he wanted to be the number one. He was, at the time, he was competing, Mario and Luque. At the end of the day, Mario was more and so on. And I would say Mario was a touch better player, yes. But Luque...
Also more, from my eye, sorry, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yep.
Maybe more a pure centre striker. More than Luque. Luque could go
No. Luque was proper centre forward.
Awesome.
I mean, he was there. He will be, say, Joe Jordan, if you want to put it like that. Really, really, the last one. Mario was the one that
could play around.
Yes. In fact, some of the game he was kind of left midfield, left midfield from player and so on. We finished playing 4-4, incredible, against Holland. We played 4-4. And I was one of the two in the middle. Gallego was a very, very defensive one. Yes, he would be all the time there. And I have freedom to go wherever I want and come back. And so I had to help him very clearly. I was the number one to help him, yes. But I was offensive as well. So
In the World Cup final, we're going reverse. In the World Cup final, you break through two men, three quarters of the way up the pitch. And then you release to, I don't know if it's Luque, but you release to somebody who releases to Kempes for the goal.
That's right, yes. So
so you're pushing through the line, as they call it now.
On the other hand, this is why I feel so close to Leopoldo Luque, because to have played in that circumstance, he went, of course, after the second game, he went to the funeral of his brother. So it was incredible.
Broken heart, broken shoulder.
Broken everything. And he played. Incredible. And he was so important for us. I was the same thing, because against France as well, I hurt my toe there and it was broken. So I started to... I couldn't, for example, little by little, I couldn't even walk. They had to take me in the...
They had to lift you, piggyback.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't...
But you kept on playing.
I didn't play against Peru, for example.
In the 6-0?
Yes. I didn't play there. And in the final, what happened, Menotti, was... That's the only time I saw Menotti nervous before the final, because he was playing with the second... No, not the second team, the first team, the proper team. But I was not playing. La Rosa was playing in my position. And the team was not...
Wait, I think... Are you talking about the build-up to the final?
Yes.
In training?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And he was not happy with what he was seeing. So in the back of his mind, he said, Ozzy, you're going to play. Yes.
Wait. Slow down storytelling.
Yeah.
48 hours before
yes.
the World Cup final.
Yes.
In your country.
Yeah.
Going to be played in River Plate Stadium, and you think you're not playing?
No.
Possibly.
I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk from, because we sleep here and we had to walk, say, to eat. We had to walk, say, 70 yards, 50 yards. I couldn't walk. So, remember Killer. Remember Killer? He played with us as well. He put me in his, strong guy. How's he coming around? I couldn't walk. So we were having training and Menotti was not happy with the team. Not happy with the team. And the one missing was me because, of course, I couldn't do anything. Nothing at all. In fact, he asked me to, the day of the game, he asked me to, no, the day before the game, he said, Ozzy, I want you to play 10 minutes for the first team. And I said, yeah, no problem. But to play, I had to have an injection. And the injection, after the injection, I will be worse. So
the pain will be worse, the swelling will be worse.
Yes. So anyways, I want you to do this. Okay, no problem. So I played, and I remember it was 5 minutes. 5 minutes, it was and I said, okay, thank you very much, Ozzy, peace off. Bye-bye. You're playing tomorrow. And this is how I started.
What about the psychology of...
Oh, the psychology.
So you come off thinking, I want to play, I'm glad I'm picked, but I could let people down, I could let myself down.
Definitely. Oh, it was, of course, it was not... For example, in Tottenham, the game could be incredibly important, the final and so on. I was all the time joking. I didn't. In fact, I make it a kind of obligation for me not to think about the game because I always thought that you are thinking about the game, you start to perspirate, you are losing energy and so on. So joking, that's it. And in the final, for example, you can see my face, everything. I was worried, one, because maybe not playing, after when decided I was going to play, yes, but brilliant. Imagine if I didn't play the final, it would have been devastating for me.
You would, obviously, and we're talking about hypotheticals now because the spoiler for everybody is you win, but which is worse in your imagination on the, I guess, the Saturday night? Not playing or playing and letting yourself and your country down, which I don't know which is worse, Ozzy.
Yeah, maybe.
Playing and letting yourself down.
It's a risk all the time, yes. If it was any other game,
claro.
I would not have played. It was so bad. In fact, I arrived in England here with Tottenham 1 month later, and I was still limping, to give you an idea. And but of course, I mean, that's Jimmy Greaves in the 66 World Cup. This is why I feel so close to Jimmy, because I can understand that.
Well, Jimmy, because if people don't realise what you're talking about, Jimmy was the starting striker, and Jimmy was
a magician,
and one small Jimmy injury was, keeps him out of...
Absolutely. This is how I feel so close to him. I talk many times with Jimmy. I'm very, very glad that he opened his mind, and he told me that, for example, I thought that it was a kind of... He was going to be very, very hurt with Al Ramsey, for example, and he was not. Before the World Cup, put it like that, there were three players that they were the number one. Bobby Moore, Gordon Bank as well, Bobby Moore, Bobby Charlton, and Jimmy. And Jimmy, for personality, for everything, said, oh, come on, we are in England, we are going to win the World Cup. He was the one pushing everybody else toward that end and so on. The other one, Bobby was more calm, Bobby Charlton as well, and so on. He was the force.
And it took the greatest player of all time, Leo Messi, maybe 10 years, 12 years to break Jimmy's scoring record.
Yes.
So if people only know him as a name, yes. they need to understand that he glided across the pitch and scored for fun.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you asked me who was the best player, English player ever, he will be one in the top three, definitely. This is how good I think he was. So he was obviously devastated when he didn't play the Cup final. After saying that, Bobby... Jimmy's played very. There were only 11 players, no subs. So suddenly played 20 minutes. Oop, bye bye, and so on. So again, how this interview started?
Lucky
luck, same thing. What about if my injury was just a little bit more? Yeah. A little bit more, I won't be able to play as much as they have people that play with broken leg and so on. But yes, lovely. But depending how the broken leg is, I have seen that. I had two broken legs. In the first one was a little one, just a little one. But the pain was extraordinary. The pain was so bad, it was here. The pain was so bad I couldn't move. I mean, I couldn't even think about it. I think and it was painful. And the other one, I have a proper broken. It was proper broken. And yes, I carry on walking and so on. And suddenly I started to feel worse and worse. But I walked for a while, say. Mm. So, again, it's luck. And Jimmy was basically bad luck that he couldn't play the funk.
And you win the final and you sneak off in a police car to see your wife, who's going to give birth to my friend, Federico,
yes,
one of your boys. I'd speculate that summer 1978 was quite a good summer for you in general.
It was quite a...
Not bad, as things
quite
go.
Quite a year, yes.
Ozzy, this is the point where you get to choose, because this is a much... You've talked about life in England and then having to leave England so many times. And you don't have to speak about it today.
No.
But it's an interesting subject. And you lost a cousin in the war between the UK and Argentina. Two of the people who listen, we have lots of loyal listeners. So we asked them, what do you want to know? And one of them greeted me as boludo. That's jai padam, which is a kind of mean word in Argentinian Spanish, a little bit, but also a little bit affectionate, maybe.
Could be.
I like your style.
Could be.
And Sean O'Keefe. So I'm going to read them. Normally I summarise them. Sean says, from Cork, my late history teacher, Ollie Ryan, a Spurs fan, told me about Ozzy Ardiles getting abused by fans as late as 1984, sometimes by Spurs fans also. I'd like to know how Ozzy felt and dealt with that during the Malvinas crisis. Sean calls it Malvinas crisis. Although I'm aware that maybe you'd prefer to steer clear of this kind of subject, Sean also says, on a lighter note, a much lighter note, could you ask Osvaldo how much fun he had working with Giles, Dunphy and Brady on RTE in 2010 and 2014? But Jai says, how difficult was it playing a World Cup in your home country during a military dictatorship under the coaching of Menotti, someone who was clearly opposed to the views of the junta but had their backing to win the cup potentially? So, you come from an incredible country, a country which has gifted so many things to the world, but we're on a subject today. Argentina has gifted a type of thinking, a type of player to the football world. Some people might argue they wouldn't be unanimous. The three best players in the history of football all come from your country.
Which they are?
Di Stefano.
Oh, yes.
Diego Maradona and Leo Messi. There are lots of other names that come in, but Argentina is... So I want to say to you...
That shows a little bit how we are as a country. The extraordinary individuality. And this is the problem that we have in our country as well. We have serious, serious problem to put everything together. We have a very, very talented individual player like the three that you mentioned. I will definitely add Mario Kempes to that to that list.
Ahead of Batistuta.
Yes. Mario was. Mario.
Just if this isn't a visual thing, Ozzy just looked at me as if I was crazy. So if you haven't seen Kempes,
no,
and he was so much better than Batistuta.
One second. Batistuta was absolutely wonderful. Wonderful player, scored goal for fun, and absolutely. But Mario for me is very, very special player. I played with three very, very special players in my life. One was Mario Kempes, 78. The other one was Maradona, 1982, and in total, Glenn Hoddle. The three of them were a little bit different. All the people I have played in my life, the person that I have more pleasure playing with, the more fun it was and so on, it was Mario Alberto. Yes. So I don't need to say more. He was my roommate in 1982 in Spain. He was my roommate in 1970 as well. I was with Ricky, but Mario arrived later. So I don't know why, but Menotti put it in our... Maybe because he was smoking or whatever it is. So we have Mario.
Maybe he saw two winners. Yes. Maybe he saw two winners.
So Mario is one of my closest friends. So this is why my opinion of him is tinted by big admiration.
You're here friendship. Because your opinions count here more than anywhere else.
Hold up. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The reason I mentioned what was called the Falklands War here, which was called the Malvinas War in Argentina, is that there are two things that strike me. I feel that you must have felt super isolated, because here you are in London so many years later, but almost from the beginning until now, you're genuinely loved in this country. And there was a small period when fans would abuse you in one way or another, but just because of your nationality. And I know that sometimes when you went home or when you played with the national team, because you were over there with the enemy and maybe you liked it over there, you were a little bit out of step with some of the national feeling in your home country, which leaves you in the middle of nowhere, which is a shit place to be.
Absolutely.
Is that a description of what 1982 felt like to you?
I think you have put it extremely well and extremely nice. Yes, I... Now... One thing I would like to say, I was never, ever, ever abused by the Spurs people, never. The players were a sense of support, incredible, but the supporters as well. So from that point of view, no. But of course, it was from... I was probably the most famous Argentinian at the time here, with Ricky. I mean, the two of us, because... One, because of football. Football is like that, and another... If you had to mention another Argentinian at the time, it would be probably Gabriela Sabatini. You remember her?
Sabatini, the tennis player.
Yes.
But of course, Maradona should have made
Maradona.
78 squad, but he didn't.
Yes.
So he's less famous here. So you are the number one Argentinian.
But in here, we walk with Ricky and every restaurant and everybody recognizes him. But at the time, this little thing just changed because, you put it very well, I was in the middle of the two. And at the time, when we were talking about war, you're talking about, I find it funny, but war and politics is more or less the same. When you're talking about this kind of subject, the truth is going through the window. So so it was very, very difficult for me. It was the worst part of my life, without a shadow of a doubt. It affected me tremendously. Because I was basically, as a player, as a human being, but especially as a player, I was... all the time a kind of a thinking man. So I was thinking all the time and so on. And I remember, why I not like Ricky? Ricky doesn't think about anything. He just go out and play and so on. So I had to be thinking and it was terrible. It destroyed me I went to Paris Saint-Germain after the war.
But I don't think you enjoyed it.
No, I didn't, because this is how bad... One, the decision to go to Paris was not because of football, it was Paris, and so I have a chance to go to Italy, but Paris better, so I go to Paris, so not a football decision, that is wrong. But being in Paris, I was I played so bad. I never, for example, in training, I just go to training and give me the ball and I will do things, and very, very natural, brilliant, and no problem. Now I remember going to bed earlier the day before and looking after me, everything, and I arrived, boom, proper, and the ball was coming, and it was so bad. I could not believe I can play so bad.
That's a mental thing, right?
That was 100% a mental thing, yeah. Yes. And in fact, I come back to England and it took me a while to reconnect, say, with my proper football, say, the normal. I started to doubt myself. Maybe I'm not such a good player.
And I've seen you and Federico, your son, who's a great friend to me, you made a very, very special film, a good film.
Yeah.
White, Blue and White. But originally, Blanco, Albiceleste Blanco.
Azul, Blanco, Azul.
Azul, Blanco, Azul. Mm. To represent the white of Spurs and the blue and white of Argentina.
That's right, yes.
And you go back to... I suppose we know at Falklands now. Mm. You know, I don't even know what Malvinas means.
Malvinas is because the island changed
over the century. Yeah.
Yes, and the French were there for very, very little time, for 3 or 4 years, no more than that, and they put the Malvinas, and this is how the name.
Wow.
Yeah.
You went back, and your face when you look at the military wreckage. I suppose it reminds you of losing your cousin who died in the Air Force. You crash. Mm. You're taken to hospital, airlifted to...
We did the film. It was not in the script, the accident.
No.
So I said to the director, hello, that was not...
People need to watch ESPN 30 for 30, White, Blue, White, if they get the chance, because it's a good film.
It's
a fascinating
film.
Your face when you look... at the evidence of the war that we've just been talking about.
Oh, yes. It was very emotional. Very, very, very emotional. And to be with my uncle, the father of my cousin that was killed in... He was the first pilot. He was in the Air Force as well. He was the first pilot. And I talked with a lot of the pilots as well. Until that moment, until that happened, it was a kind of training for them. They go there and so on, but they never was involved with anybody. So it was a kind of a... From the moment that my cousin died, this is serious.
It's real
this
now.
War. That is real, real, very, very real.
People, men often treat war like games, and it's not.
No, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
But you come back, and one of the things I love about sport is it heals. It truly heals.
Yes.
And okay... Your magic makes people say, yeah, we love him still. You become a real icon of British sport. I know how devoted I was to your style. Mm. Otherwise, I wouldn't have scored so many goals in the school courtyard. What are the things that you like best about the UEFA Cup run? Because the drama of how it finishes, you knock out serious teams. You do what you think you came to do in 1978 because you're a World Cup winner. The team is... Keith is economical with the truth.
Yes.
And suddenly there, 6 years later, you're doing what probably should have been your birthright.
Yeah.
If you hadn't come to a poor team in 78, and if the Malvinas War, Falklands War, hasn't intervened, you're not only lifting more trophies, probably that Spurs team can become champions.
You're talking like me now. Luck. Ha-ha. You see? This is how luck, maybe luck is another word, maybe chance, or whatever you want to put it, but you can see very clearly how that played a crucial role. Now, coming back to, yes, very clearly, after the Falkland Wars, what I am doing here. Very, very clearly what I am doing here. And I remember talking with Ricky, and again, Ricky, and I said to Ricky, this is what we're going to do. We are going to be, there have been a lot, bridges between Argentina and England have been all the time a little bit fragile, say. In the football point of view, with the animal scene in 1966, they were very, very bad and so on. So when we come with Ricky in 1978, it was a lot of bridges and much, much more, a lot of information of England in Argentina, Argentina in England.
So generally the two cultures come a little bit closer
right.
together.
Yeah. This is what I call bridges. So we were bridges. And the war happened, and it was all the bridges were kind of destroyed. And with Ricky, I said, "Well, now we are going to rebuild the bridges. We are going to start to build the bridges." When we play in Argentina, they would say, "Oh, Ozzy and Ricky play, and score a goal or whatever it is." So the something about England, and the other way,
as well. Assumed a role of maybe slightly healing.
Yes.
You deliberately spoke to Ricky
definitely.
About saying we have a role beyond simply playing well and winning.
Much beyond football, definitely. And I said to Ricky, we are going to be remembered for this thing. Maybe more or maybe the same that our football, our wonderful goal, Ricky's wonderful goal, and so on. because this is very, very important. And it's very, very important for us as a person to do that. We are going to be defined as a person.
You mean we have a responsibility
yes.
for our actions and how we live?
Well, 100%. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, there are a lot of very bad examples in, I don't want to mention, but there are a lot of, and I don't want to put myself in this kind of role model and so on. We are all human. With
you
our,
didn't no. say that. I understand no. what no. you mean. It's,
but
it's like,
on the other hand,
by our actions,
yes.
we will be judged, we will be known, and
yes.
we can look ourselves in the mirror
yes.
and say, I did the right thing, right?
That's right. So, yes, when I had to decide, was in France, in Paris, was not happy. My wife wanted me to come immediately to carry on with our house, with our normal life.
In London?
In London, yes. Pablo and Freddie, of course, they're very young, but they wanted to come back as well. So I said, well, so, yes, come back.
And it was the right decision?
It was a completely right decision.
Here
yes.
we are all these years later, and everything you said is true. You're part of the national culture.
Yeah.
The Falklands War isn't forgotten, but Argentina and England are Argentina and
no,
UK.
Yeah.
The bridges are rebuilt.
It was very difficult at the time to talk about the Falklands War, but now it's much more open.
Like, I respect you as a man. It isn't just you're not here just because you're a footballer. So I wanted to speak about that. So I hope it's okay.
No problem, yeah.
But it doesn't mean you can escape from the last section, which is Sean O'Keefe's real question, I think. Mm. You do remember John Giles and Eamon Dunphy and Chippy Brady?
Absolutely, yes.
Quiet nights, did you go, was there a chess club to go to or
no, we went
maybe
to,
theatre after the... How was that company,
that was
Osvaldo?
That was brilliant, they were absolutely brilliant. The time I have in Ireland when I was with the... And have a great, great time. I mean, no chess at all. It was
no chess. Piano, some Guinness?
Piano bar. A lot
piano
of,
bar.
A piano bar every night. It was beautiful, wonderful food and... But of course, we're at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Some singing?
Singing, and yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Your son can sing quite well.
Liam thinks that he's a singer as well.
Liam's a good singer?
No, he can't sing.
But he thinks he can. So, do you have a voice?
I like to... Well, probably you hear Ozzy Goes to Wembley, yeah?
Ah. Yeah, but I asked you if you've got a voice.
Yeah. Yes, that is a
we lost
question.
One. No, because I've heard Federico, your son, sing, and the trouble is he likes who's the singer who was a Real Madrid goalkeeper, Spanish singer, Iglesias.
Julio Iglesias.
Oh, Federico can sing, but he insists on singing Julio Iglesias. Mm. Come on, have a word.
Yes, yes, yes.
So no, we of course listen. I wasn't going to mention in the cup for Tottenham,
no.
But in the recording, your shoulders are being held and moved by one of the great Scots of all time, and Mr. Steve Archibald.
Archie is another very, very good friend of mine. Brilliant player,
fantastic player, great centre forward.
Yes, I love the man as well. Controversial, difficult.
Opinionated.
Sometimes it's a big, big pain, no doubt about it. But it's a great, great guy. And a lot of fun. So.
And he was maybe guiding you on the notes, which notes to hit, because we lost, in Chas and Dave were a great duo, and we lost one of them,
yep.
Chas Hodges,
yes.
Recently. You were a Top of the Pop star.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have asked you about the singing thing. So in Dublin, there was some singing with Chippy Brady.
No, we didn't sing Ozzy Goes to Wembley, but it was a lot of singing. Yeah.
That would have been nice to see. Mm. Our sponsors, because you have a very nice birthday lunch to go to. You're not late. We're going to walk you there.
Okay.
But our sponsors have a couple of questions to finish with. You can choose. One of them from Bet365 is, who was the greatest player you played alongside during your time in England? But we know who it was. Yep. Name him. And tell us something we don't know about his playing style.
You mean Glenn?
Well, you mean Glenn.
Yeah, I mean Glenn. Yeah. Glenn was extraordinarily talented to start with. But that is not what made him a great, great player. What made him a great, great player was his courage. Courage, because people talk a lot about, you're strong because you kick people and so on. That is the easy part. The difficult part is people like Pelé, people like Maradona, people like Cruyff. When you are playing with some bandit, when you are playing with some criminal dressed as a football player, and you carry on having the ball and you're still trying to play, you're still trying to create and so on. This is the people that I always have admired. People like the one I already mentioned, but not only them. People like Socrates, for example. Ah, when you have players like that, Messi... Ronaldo, the Ronaldo now, the Ronaldo, the Brazilian.
George Best.
Georgi Besa, these are the guys that have Garrincha. This is what make football what football is right now. We all have a great, great debt of gratitude. All these people right now playing the Premier League, Champions League, and so on, they have an extraordinary debt of gratitude to all these guys. But very, very special to Pelé. Pelé changed the game. Changed the game in the way that it was a kind of a sport, quite popular in certain part of the world, but he made it a global phenomenon. That was extraordinary. And after that, all the players after him, Maradona and so on, they benefited tremendously because of him. Apart from that, he was extraordinary player. For me, when you're talking about the very, very, very best, you mentioned Di Stéfano. I will mention Di Stéfano as well, but I didn't see him play so much. I'm a little bit younger, say. So it will definitely will be Garrincha, it will be Pelé, it will be Maradona, it will be Messi. And if I had to choose a fifth one, it will be Johan Cruyff.
I'm glad you said that.
Yes. Yeah, you are from Barcelona, so you like...
I knew him, I adored him. He inspired me like Pelé inspired you.
Well,
literally.
Yes, and Johan, not only as a player, but as a coach. That is, he changed football. All we are seeing right now with Guardiola and all the rest, Johan have a big, big hand on it.
He was a visionary.
Yep.
Two more. Bet365 says, it's a tough one. I've heard you answer this before. Lionel Messi or Diego Maradona? And I suppose, given that I know how you're going to answer, I suppose I have to say why.
I don't know what you expect me to answer, because they ask me this question so many times. Sometimes I say Maradona, sometimes I say Messi, sometimes I say, Mario Kempes. The truth of the matter is this. It's extraordinarily difficult to choose between the two. Maradona and Messi, for example, they're incredibly similar. Both are left footballs, both are extraordinary touch by God, if you want to put it like that. Free kicks, skill, everything. The only difference maybe is Lionel Messi, to be great, he need very good players around him. And Maradona was... That show, he came from kind of middle class in Argentina and so on. Diego, on the other hand, comes from the shanty town. He always will fight the establishment. He will fight everybody. So he wasn't particularly happy in Barcelona, for example. He had to go to Napoli, where he was God and whatever. And
so he went from a middle class city to a tough city.
Yes.
And he felt in his environment.
And his team, the team that he played, he didn't feel... He played with super players in Barcelona, for example. But he was, in a way, he was happier, him, to play with players that were not that good, say. Funny enough, when Maradona asked for the 11 best players that he played with, he chose very little from when he was World Cup champion. 1986, for example. 1991. He chose me, by the way, so it's nice.
I knew if I kept quiet, he would tell the truth.
Yes.
And I knew he would choose you.
Right.
The last one. This is a speculative one. Bet365, ask us, how do you think Jose Mourinho will do at Spurs? And I think they haven't asked me this, but I'm going to add, how do you think this version of Jose Mourinho, with the Amazon cameras on him all the time, will do at this version of Spurs?
First, I would like to mention Mauricio Pochettino. I think he did an extraordinary job in the club this five and a half years. It has been absolutely fantastic. He changed the club from one of the also ran, say, to proper Champions League every single year, and little by little, not only playing the first group, but we're going forward.
He made them €190 million in Champions League qualification at a time when they have to pay for the training ground, they have to pay for the stadium. He was a money-making machine for them because of his skill.
It was incredibly... I know how incredibly difficult it was playing at Wembley. That is a tremendous advantage to the opposition. It was, yes, with the constraint that he have from the money point of view and so on. So he did an absolutely extraordinary job. Personally, I feel he's one of the very, very best managers in the world, without a doubt.
Destined for more great things.
Definitely, yes. Now, Mourinho is a new chapter. I think it's an extraordinary opportunity for him right now. He's coming to a club that, I mean, he would not come to us about 2 or 3 years ago, for example. No chance. And I think because, obviously, he has won everything in football and he has been extremely successful. Later on, he has been not so much in the way that...
Can I speculate that there's a time where if you were in charge of... You were the owner of Spurs. There's a time quite recently when you wouldn't have offered him Spurs either, I don't think.
No, I don't think the Spurs will offer him.
Nor you?
No, no, me. No, 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 no. No, no, no. We have Mauricio, so no need to change.
I speculate that Mourinho feels and sounds refreshed and a little bit more like the original Mourinho now.
Yes,
it could be. I'm guessing, but
yes.
Do you agree?
Oh, it could be. It could be very well. So it's in a wonderful, wonderful place. The best training facility in the world, the extraordinary stadium. The stadium is no word to describe it, how beautiful it is. So this squad is very, very competitive. He will definitely add certain touches, Mourinho touches and so on. Sure. So he have a great, great opportunity. I have to say, I have seen him, only two games, but he looked generally very, very, very happy. People say, well, he's in the charm offensive and so on. Yes, probably he is, yes. After saying that, I think he's very, very genuinely very, very happy.
You talk about luck. We're going to loop round and finish it because I think Jose Mourinho in front of the cameras is a different man from Jose Mourinho dark and unhappy in his office. And the Amazon cameras, which everybody says is a terrible thing, but the Amazon cameras are there watching him all the time.
Yes.
I think Daniel might get a certain version of Jose Mourinho now, which is to the benefit of Spurs because he likes being on camera. So against my normal judgment, where I didn't like a lot of Jose Mourinho for 3-4 years, maybe since he won the title at Real Madrid when his achievement was very good, I think we're seeing a guy now who some of the best will come out.
It was a very, very happy Mourinho. That before that, and after that, a lot of ways starting to go wrong, say, after exactly what you mentioned, Real Madrid, for example. So before he was fighting all the world and so on, but in a way he was very, very happy doing that. Now I think we are talking, it's wiser, we are talking a much more mellow personality, probably. So it's going to be incredibly interesting.
Ojalá.
So, ojalá, yes, because this is, as a Spurs supporter that I am, this is what I hope so.
Maybe Ozzy's going back to Wembley this season. We'll see, maybe.
We'll see. It will be great. It will be great to win something, yes.
Osvaldo Ardiles, I knew what kind of person you were when I invited you here. You've explained and you've told stories and you've talked like a world champion. It's been a real pleasure. I bet you that people who haven't heard you like this or didn't see you play are going, oh, I'm going to YouTube now to watch this guy. Thank you for explaining this small chunk of your beautiful life.
Lovely.
We feel lucky.
Enjoy it.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Back Page. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.